If the president is getting so strict with pharma companies, how come drug company stocks went up? From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. President Trump has met with leaders of the pharmaceutical industry, and while things seemed cordial, the president yesterday did call drug prices astronomical. Still, the industry folks emerged more excited by the president's promise to speed up the drug approval process at the FDA. Eli Lilly stock went up more than 3%, Amgen up 1.5%. Eric Gordon is a professor at the University of Michigan who often helps us parse these things. Professor, good morning to you.
Good morning, David.
So the president said the word that drug prices are astronomical, and the implication is he's going to work to make them go down. Do you see an emerging alliance here between the president of the United States and Democrats in Congress who might also want drug prices to go down?
Yeah, something quite new. We now have a nominally Republican president who is saying the same thing that the Democrats are saying.
And that might be about negotiating drug prices. The government is not allowed to do that now.
Yeah, amazingly, Medicare is the biggest single buyer of drugs, and by law, it can't negotiate prices with the drug companies. That could change under President Trump.
Importation of drugs from Canada might be allowed. So one would assume that the pharmaceutical companies would be very concerned about this.
They should be concerned because the Republican veto might not be in place.
And how might the drug companies respond? By lowering drug prices across the board?
Well, the drug companies might be a little scared that some of their lobbying and political power has diminished. The drug companies could come to the table with some compromises, promises to lower drugs that are widely used by Medicare patients, something that keeps the president short from pushing for legislative change that could really hurt the industry.
All that said, I can't help but notice, in fact, it's my duty to notice, that drug company stocks shot upward after this meeting with the president yesterday.
Yeah, you know, the president made some noise about reforming the FDA, part of his less regulation theme. And the FDA has been sort of the whipping boy for the pharma industry. The pharma industry has blamed the FDA for lots of its economic woes.
And clearly, some stock analysts, at least, believe this could help drug company profits.
Yeah, you know, the stock prices are pushed around more by the analysts than by anybody else. I don't think the FDA is the drug company's problem. The drug company's big problem is they bring out new drugs that just don't work. You know, if the drug doesn't work, it isn't the FDA's problem. It's the problem of science. And changing the FDA doesn't change science.
Always good to talk to Eric Gordon, a professor at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. Professor, thank you.
My pleasure, David.
Let us do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 0.7%. The Dow and S&P futures are up 0.2%, 33 points up for the Dow future. The NASDAQ future is up 0.5%. The 10-year bond yield is up at 2.47%. Tensions continue at companies around the country with pressure from many employees and customers for their CEOs to take a firm public stance on the Trump administration's decision to bar people from 7 North African and Middle Eastern countries. At the same time, companies may have to do business with the Trump administration. Some technology executives have been especially outspoken in their opposition to the new border policies. Some say they are looking at expanding their operations overseas in response. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
Amit Kumar is a naturalized U.S. citizen from India. He's also CEO and founder of Trimian, a Silicon Valley software company. Kumar says President Trump's executive order on Friday changed tech executives' thinking about expanding in the U.S. overnight.
I don't think any of us on Thursday was thinking that we should reconsider where we grow our teams, and on Saturday we were.
Kumar says other tech executives are now leaning more toward filling their overseas offices with new workers, avoiding the U.S. travel ban. Susan Lamott is CEO of the HR consulting firm Exaquio. She wouldn't be surprised if her tech clients turned overseas, sending this message.
Look, if you're going to handicap our ability to bring talent here, then we're going to have to go elsewhere.
Amit Kumar says the big problem for him now is uncertainty about Trump's next moves on immigration. He says that makes it hard to know what to do. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Walmart is ending its membership program meant to compete with Amazon Prime. It was called Shipping Pass. Subscribe for 2-day free shipping, less than a year. existed at Walmart. As Marketplace's Adam Allington reports, it'll have a lot of ground to make up as Amazon branches out into markets beyond retail.
When it launched, Walmart Shipping Pass was half the price of Amazon Prime, just $50. Now it's scrapping the program completely, which could be a smart strategy, says Bert Flickinger of the Strategic Resource Group.
Because it makes it less expensive for people who are starting to order online more.
Flickinger says Prime's $99 membership fee is still too steep for many, but more and more, it isn't just shopping people are coming to Amazon for.
Streaming television, the lending library you can use on your Kindle, free storage for your photographs online.
John Springer is the retail editor at Supermarket News. He says Amazon Prime is becoming more akin to a customer loyalty program.
Whereas, you know, Walmart's shipping pass was really just a shipping strategy.
Walmart's $500 billion in sales still dwarfs Amazon's $110 billion, but Prime members are more loyal and spend nearly twice as much, according to a 2014 report by RBC Capital. I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
And this morning, we're also looking at how some of the previous rulings by the president's nominee for U.S. Supreme Court fall onto the business versus consumers continuum. What has federal Judge Neil Gorsuch done with class actions, labor issues, and more? If you missed that on the air, it'll be at marketplace.org or in the podcasts later on. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.